bro!
I hear Elliot shout, but I can't see him.
Up here!
I scan the roofline, grateful that I'm wearing aviators against the glare of the sun, and there he is, waving at us. His grin rivals the Cheshire Cat's.
About time we saw you here. Stay where you are, I'll be right down.
I reach out to Anna, and she takes my hand, and while we wait, we study the exterior of what will be our home. It's bigger than I remember. Plenty of room for our child. My wayward thought surprises me. Finally, Elliot appears at the front door, caked in grime, but still wearing his broad grin. He's clearly over the moon that we're here.
Hey, bro.
He pumps my hand like he's trying to drag water from the deepest well. And how are you, little lady? He grabs Anna and swings her around.
Better, thanks,
she says, laughing. A little embarrassed, I think. Dude, quit manhandling my wife. Her ribs are bruised. He sets her down and I scowl at him. Asshole. But he ignores me. No one is raining on his parade today. Let's head over to the side office. You'll need one of these. He slaps the hard hat perched on his head. Elliot gives us a thorough tour of the house, or what's left of it. It's almost a shell. Meticulously, he explains the work in progress and how long each stage is going to take. When he's in his element like this, he's so engaging. Both Anna and I listen, rapt. The back wall at the rear has disappeared. This is where Gia Matteo's glass wall will be, and the view is spectacular. There are a few sails out on the sound, and I'm tempted to go down to the Grace after our visit here. But that's not such a good idea, given Anna's recent injuries. She's still recovering and needs to take it easy.
Hopefully we'll be finished by Christmas, Elliot declares.
Next year, I interject. There is no way we'll be in by Christmas.
We'll see. With a fair wind, it's doable.
In the kitchen, he concludes our tour.
I'll leave you two to roam. Be careful. This is a building site.
Sure. Thanks, Elliot. My brother gives us a cheery wave and heads up the covered staircase to join his construction crew back on the roof. I take Anna's hand.
Happy?
Anna gives me a dazzling smile.
Very. I love it. You?
Ditto.
Good. I was thinking of the pepper pictures in here.
Anna points to one of the walls. I nod in agreement. I want to put up Jose's portraits of you in this house. You need to decide where they should go. Her cheeks stain that delicious shade of pink.
Somewhere I won't see them often.
Don't be like that. I brush my thumb across her bottom lip. They're my favorite pictures. I love the one in my office.
I have no idea why.
She pouts and kisses the pad of my thumb. Worse things to do than look at your beautiful smiling face all day. Hungry?
Hungry for what?
She peers at me with the come hither look that I know so well. Oh, baby, I can only take so much of this. Food, Mrs. Gray. I kiss her quickly. She pouts and sighs.
Yes, these days I'm always hungry.
The three of us can have a picnic.
Three of us? Is someone joining us?
I drop my head to one side. Forgotten someone, Anna?
In about 7 or 8 months, I murmur.
She grins goofily at me.
Yeah, him.
I thought you might like to eat al fresco, I suggest, casually.
In the meadow?
I nod.
Sure.
Anna lights up, and I feel 10 feet tall for thinking of bringing a picnic. We have so much space and privacy here. This will be a great place to raise a family. I gaze down at my wife. Junior will be happy here, the meadow as his backyard. I reach out and spread my hand over her belly. Anna's breath hitches and she places her hand on mine.
It's hard to believe,
I whisper.
I know. Oh, here, I have evidence. A picture.
You do? Baby's first smile? From her wallet, she produces a black and white image on shiny paper and hands it to me.
See?
She says. The grainy photograph is mostly gray, but in the middle there's a small dark void, and within that there's a tiny anomaly, anchored to the gray, but visible against the darkness. Oh, blip. I breathe in wonder. Yeah, I see. Our blip. Wow. Our tiny human. Baby gray. And I'm surprised by a momentary pang of regret that I missed this moment with Anna.
Your child,
she whispers. Our child, I correct her.
First of many.
Many? What?
At least two.
Anna sounds hopeful. Two? Shit. Can we just take this one child at a time? She smiles up at me fondly.
Sure.
I take her hand, and together we walk back through the house and out the front door. It's such a beautiful afternoon. The scents of the sound, the meadow grass, and flowers hang in the air. My beautiful wife is by my side. It's heaven. And soon there will be three of us. When are you going to tell your folks? I ask.
Soon. I thought about telling Ray this morning, but Mr. Rodriguez was there.
Anna shrugs. I nod. I get it, Anna. Lifting the hood of the R8, I gather up the wicker picnic basket and the tartan blanket that Anna bought from Harrods in London. Come. Hand in hand, we stroll into the meadow. When we're far enough from the house, I release her, and together we spread the blanket on the ground. I settle down beside her, shrug off my jacket, and slip off my shoes and socks. I take a moment to just breathe, taking in a lungful of fresh air. We're shielded by the long grass, away from the world, truly in our own bubble. As Anna opens the picnic basket to inspect all the goodies that Mrs. Jones has provided, my phone vibrates. Shit. It's Roz.
Thank you for answering my question, and glad to hear that Anna is on the mend,
Roz says over the phone. You're welcome. It's the second time she's called and the third call I've had since we started our picnic.
You shouldn't be so indispensable.
I laugh. You flatter me. Anna is lying beside me, half listening to my side of the conversation. Her brow puckers at my last remark. You should take a couple of days off, I tell Roz. After all, you spent most of the weekend traveling back from Taiwan.
That's a great idea. I may take Thursday and Friday, if that's okay with you.
Sure, Roz. Go for it.
Will do. Thanks, Christian. Goodbye.
I toss my phone down, and resting my hands on my raised knees, I regard my wife. She's lying beside me on our blanket, gazing up with a dreamy expression. Reaching over, I pluck another strawberry from what's left of Mrs. Jones's excellent picnic and trace it along Anna's mouth. She parts her lips, and the tip of her tongue toys with the strawberry, then sucks it into her warm, wet mouth. I feel it in my groin. Tasty, I whisper.
Very.
Had enough?
Of strawberries, yes.
Her tone is low. Anna, no one can see us here. Gray, behave. I grin. Enough. I change the subject. Mrs. Jones packs a mighty fine picnic.
That she does.
God, I miss my wife. All of her. I lie down, gently resting my head on her belly, and close my eyes, trying not to think of all the things I'd like to do to her right now. Her fingers caress my hair. Oh, this is bliss. My BlackBerry starts buzzing again. Shit. It's Welch. What does he want? I answer, a little grumpy at the interruption. Welch?
Mr. Gray, I have an update. It was Eric Lincoln of Lincoln Timber who paid Hyde's bail.
Fuck that motherfucking asshole. I sit up. My senses switch to high alert as my anger takes hold.
I'd like to place him under watch, unless you have any objection.
24/7. I snarl in agreement. How dare Lincoln get involved with Hyde? This is a declaration of war.
Will do. I don't know what else you might have planned or how the two of them are connected, but I'll find out.
Thanks. He hangs up, and I can barely contain my fury. Gripping my phone, I realize now is the moment for payback. My plans were laid long ago, and as the saying goes, revenge is a dish best served cold. I give Anna a cool smile and call Roz.
Christian, I thought you were enjoying your day off.
I kneel up. I'm not calling for chit-chat. Roz, how much stock do we own in Lincoln Timber?
Let me just check.
She's all business.
We hold 66% between all the shell companies.
Excellent. So, consolidate the shares into GEH, then fire the board.
All of them? Has something happened?
Except the CEO.
Christian, that doesn't make sense.
I don't give a fuck. She gasps.
There'll be no company left. What can the CEO do? If you want to liquidate this company, this isn't the way.
I hear you. Just do it. I growl, keeping a lid on my anger. She sighs, sounding resigned.
They're your shares.
She's not going to argue further.
Thank you,
I reply, feeling a little calmer.
I'll get Marco on it.
Keep me informed. When I hang up, Anna is wide-eyed.
What's happened?
She whispers.
Link.
Link, Elena's ex?
The same. He's the one who posted Hyde's bail. Anna's mouth drops open in shock.
Well, he'll look like an idiot,
she says, dismayed.
I mean, Hyde committed another crime while out on bail.
As ever, Anna has a smart response. Fair point well made, Mrs. Gray.
What did you just do?
She kneels up to face me.
I fucked him over.
She shivers.
That seems a little impulsive.
I'm an in-the-moment kind of guy.
I'm aware of that.
I've had this plan in my back pocket for a while, I explain. A hostile takeover.
Oh?
Anna tilts her head, her gaze demanding answers. I debate whether to tell her. Hell, she knows everything about Elena anyway. I take a deep breath and shoot her a warning look. This is rough, Anna. Several years back, when I was 21, Link beat his wife to a pulp. He broke her jaw, her left arm, and four of her ribs because she was fucking me. And now I learn he posted bail for a man who tried to kill me, kidnap my sister, and fracture my wife's skull. I've had enough. I think it's payback time. My mind drifts to that awful moment when he beat me, too. I thought he'd dislocated my jaw. My hand moves to my chin as I recall the disturbing incident. I lost consciousness for a few minutes, and it was enough time for him to do his worst to Elena. And I did nothing. I was too shocked, too dazed. Damn. Gray, stop. Now. Anna's face is pale.
Fair point well made, Mr. Gray,
she says. Anna, this is what I do. I'm not usually motivated by revenge, but I cannot let him get away with this. What he did to Elena. Well, she should have pressed charges, but she didn't. That was her prerogative. My jaw tenses. But he's seriously crossed the line with Hyde. Link's made this personal by going after my family. I'm going to crush him, break up his company right under his nose, and sell the pieces to the highest bidder. I'm going to bankrupt him. Anna gasps. Besides, I add, trying to lighten the tone, we'll make good money out of the deal. She blinks several times, and I wonder if she's seeing me in a whole new light. Not a good one. Shit. I didn't mean to frighten you.
You didn't,
she whispers. I arch a brow. Does she mean that, or is she trying to make me feel better?
You just took me by surprise,
Hannah concedes. I cup her face in my hands and brush my lips against hers. I'm not sorry, Anna. I will do anything to keep you safe. Keep my family safe. Keep this little one safe. I place my hand on her belly, and Anna's breath hitches. Her eyes meet mine, and in their blue depths, her desire is smoldering, calling to me. Fuck. I want her. She's so enticing. I slip my fingers a little lower, brushing her sex through her clothes with the tips of my fingers, teasing her. Anna pounces, grabbing my head, entwining her fingers in my hair and tugging my lips to hers. I gasp in surprise and her tongue is instantly in my mouth. Desire, hot and heavy, travels at light speed all the way to the end of my cock. Damn, I'm hard. I groan and return her kiss, my tongue tangling with hers. It's been so long. The taste of her, the feel of her. She's everything. Anna. I breathe in longing against her lips. I'm bewitched, my hands moving undirected over her beautiful behind to the hem of her skirt and the soft flesh of her thighs. Thank all that is holy for this short skirt. Her hands start to unbutton my shirt, as ever, all fingers and thumbs. And for a moment, her fumbling fingers distract me. Whoa, Anna, stop. With enormous restraint, I pull back and grab her hands.
No,
she cries, distraught, and her teeth clamp over my lower lip.
No.
She's insistent, darkening blue eyes staring at me with longing. She releases me.
I want you.
Anna, you're hurt. My body agrees with Anna.
Please, I need you.
It's a heartfelt plea. Oh, fuck. I'm done. I concede, overcome by her ardor and my need. I groan, and my mouth finds hers, kissing her and tasting her once more. Cradling her head, I run my hand down her body to her waist and gently ease her onto her back and stretch out beside her. We kiss and kiss, lips and tongues locked, reacquainting ourselves with each other. When I come up for air, I stare down into eyes dazed with passion. You are so beautiful, Mrs. Gray. Her fingers strum my face.
So are you, Mr. Gray, inside and out.
Oh, I'm not sure that's true. Her fingers trace the line of my brow.
Don't frown,
she whispers.
You are to me, even when you're angry.
She says the sweetest things. I moan and kiss her once more and revel in her response, her body rising to meet mine. I've missed you. My words are inadequate and no match for the feelings behind them. She is the world to me. I skim my teeth over her jaw.
I've missed you too, oh Christian.
Her passion spurs me on. I run my lips along her throat, leaving soft, wet kisses in their wake, and I unbutton her shirt and tug it open to kiss the soft swell of her breasts. Sweet Jesus, they're bigger. Already. Your body's changing. I murmur in appreciation, and rub my thumb over her bra, coaxing her nipple awake until it's begging for my lips. I like. Did I say that out loud? I don't know. I don't care. I'm just so enamored of my wife. I nuzzle her breast with my nose and my tongue through the white gossamer of her bra. As her nipple strains for release, I use my teeth to drag down the cup, freeing her breast. Her nipple puckers in the gentle breeze, and I draw it slowly into my mouth and suck hard.
Ah!
Anna groans, then flinches beneath me. Fuck, her ribs. I stop immediately. Anna! Damn. This is what I'm talking about, your lack of self-preservation. I don't want to hurt you. Desperate, blazing eyes meet mine.
No, don't stop.
She whimpers.
Please.
Shit. My whole body is screaming, don't stop. But hell. Here. Carefully, I lift her and shift so she's sitting astride me, and my hands travel smoothly up her legs to the tops of her thigh highs. She is one hell of a sight. Her hair falling toward me, eyes soft and full of desire, her breast free. There, that's better, and I can enjoy the view. I hook my finger into the other bra cup, drag it down so that I have both of her breasts to enjoy. As I take them in my hands, Anna groans and throws her head back, pushing them farther into my palms. Oh, baby. I tug and tease each of her nipples, and they lengthen further beneath my touch until she cries out. I want her mouth. I sit up so we're nose to nose and kiss her, my tongue and my fingers teasing and tantalizing her. Anna's fingers are at my shirt again, scrambling to undo the remaining buttons, and she's kissing me back with such fervor that I'm sure either one or both of us will combust. There's a desperation in her kiss. Hey. Gently, I grasp her head and ease back. There's no rush. Take it slow. I want to savor you.
Christian, it's been so long.
She's breathless. I know. But you're hurt. Let's not be hasty. Slow. And that's not a request. I press my lips to the right corner of her mouth. Slow. The left corner. Slow, baby. I suck her bottom lip into my mouth. Let's take this slow. Cradling her head, I continue to kiss her, my tongue subduing hers, hers enticing mine. She glides her fingers across my face, my chin, my throat, and starts on my shirt buttons once more. She tugs my shirt apart, her fingers caressing my chest, then pushing me down so that I'm prostrate beneath her. She gazes down at me and squirms over my groin. I push up my hips to enjoy the friction against my eager dick. Anna watches me, her lips parted as she traces my mouth with the tips of her fingers. She moves on, her fingers skimming over my jaw, down my neck, and to the base of my throat. Leaning down, her tender kisses trail where her fingers have been, grazing my jaw and my throat. I surrender to the sensation, closing my eyes and reclining my head with a moan. Her tongue continues its journey down my sternum, across my chest, where she stops to kiss a couple of my scars. Anna. I want to bury myself deep inside her. Grasping her hips, I meet her dark eyes with a dark look of my own. You want this? Here? My voice is husky with need.
Yes,
she murmurs, and dips her head once more, her lips and tongue teasing my nipple. She tugs it gently.
Oh, Anna.
I breathe in awe as pleasure spikes through my body. I circle her waist, lift her clear, and quickly unbutton my jeans, open my fly, and push down my underwear so my cock springs free. I sit her down once more, and she grinds against me.
Oh,
I need to be inside her. Running my hands up her thighs, I pause at the top of her thigh highs. I circle my thumbs against her warm flesh and move my hands further up so I brush the damp seeping through her lace panties. Anna gasps.
I hope you're not attached to your underwear.
I whisper, and my fingers slide inside her panties, touching her.
Damn. She's soaking, ready for me.
I force my thumbs through the fabric and the material rips apart.
Yes.
I move my hands to her upper thighs and let my thumbs brush against her clitoris as I tighten my ass, searching for some friction against my cock. She slides over me. I can feel how wet you are. You fucking goddess, Anna. Sitting up so we're eye to eye once more, I wrap my arm around her waist and rub my nose to hers. We're going to take this slow, Mrs. Gray. I want to feel all of you. And before she can argue with me, I lift her again and gently lower her onto me and fill her languidly. I close my eyes and relish each delicious inch of her. She's bliss.
Ah!
Anna moans and grasps my arms. She tries to lift up, eager to begin, but I hold her in place and open my eyes again. All of me, I murmur, and tilt my pelvis up, claiming all of her. Anna lets out a strangled moan and throws her head back. Let me hear you, I whisper, and she tries to rise again. No, don't move, just feel. Her eyes spring open, and her mouth is agape in a fixed gasp of pleasure. She gazes at me, barely breathing, it seems. I drive into her once more, but hold her still. She groans while I bend my head to kiss her throat. This is my favorite place, buried in you. I whisper to the pulse under her ear.
Please move,
she begs. But I want to tease her, take it slow, so she doesn't hurt herself. Slow, Mrs. Gray. I flex my ass once more, pushing into her, and she caresses my face and kisses me, her tongue consuming me.
Love me, please, Christian.
My resolve crumbles, and I skim her jaw with my teeth. Go. I'm all yours, Anna. She pushes me to the ground and she starts to move up and down, fast, a little frantic, taking all I have to give.
Oh, God.
I grab her hands and compliment her wild pace, pushing up again and again, relishing the feel of her, enjoying the view, my wife, the blue sky behind her in the outdoors.
Oh, Anna.
I groan, surrendering completely to her rhythm. I close my eyes and move my hands up her thighs once more to that precious point between them. There I press both thumbs against her clitoris, and she cries out, exploding around me, in a gasping, rolling climax that tips me over the edge.
Anna!
I cry as I succumb to my own heady orgasm. When I open my eyes, she sprawled over me. I cloak her in my arms, and we lie together, still joined. I've missed this. Her hand is over my heart as it slows to its normal rhythm. It's weird. Not long ago, I couldn't have tolerated her hands on me. Now I crave her touch. She kisses my chest, and I kiss her hair. Better? I ask. She raises her head, her grin reflecting mine.
Much. You?
I'm just grateful that she's here and whole and still with me after everything that's happened. I've missed you, Mrs. Gray.
Me too.
No more heroics, eh?
No.
She breathes. You should always talk to me. I insist in a soft voice.
Back at you, Gray.
Fair point, well made. I'll try. I kiss her again, smirking. She's not taking any of my shit, as usual.
I think we're going to be happy here,
Anna says. Yep. You, me, and Blip. How do you feel, incidentally?
Fine. Relaxed. Happy.
Good.
You?
Yeah, all those things. Deliriously happy, Anna. She peers at me. What? I ask.
You know, you're very bossy when we have sex.
Oh. Are you complaining?
No, she says emphatically. I'm just wondering. You said you missed it.
And I wonder what she means for a moment. Control? I need that. The playroom? What we do in there? A vision of her shackled to the four-poster, the talus ringing through the room, comes to mind. Or maybe the cross and a riding crop, the brown leather one. My memories go on and on, seducing me. Sometimes, I whisper. Yeah, sometimes I miss it. She smiles.
Well, we'll have to see what we can do about that.
She drops a kiss on my lips.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I like to play too,
she says, and peeks shyly up at me. Well, 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 this perfect day just got a whole lot better. You know, I'd really like to test your limits, I whisper.
My limits for what?
Pleasure.
Oh, I think I'd like that.
Well, maybe when we get home. I hug her gently, marveling at how much she means to me. How much I love her. Who knew I could fall so desperately and completely in love? Wednesday, September 21st, 2011. Flynn is at a loss for words. This might be a first. I've given him an executive summary of all that has transpired since our last session.
So that's why you came looking for me, he mutters.
Yes. He shakes his head in disbelief.
Well, first things first. How's Anna?
She's good. On the mend. Desperate to get back to work.
No PTSD?
I don't think so, but it might be too early to tell.
I can recommend someone if she needs a therapist.
He stops and taps his lip with his index finger.
Shall we take this in stages? Let's start with the pregnancy and your reaction.
Not my proudest moment. I stare past him at a space on the wall, embarrassed to look him in the eye.
No,
he agrees, far too readily.
How are you feeling about it now?
Sighing, I lean forward and rest my elbows on my knees. Resigned, excited, scared, in about equal measure. I would have preferred if we'd waited, but now that Junior is on his way, well, I shrug. Flynn's expression is sympathetic, I think.
You don't truly learn what unconditional love is until you have a child.
That's what Anna says. But I've only just learned to love her. I trail off, unwilling to voice the rest of my thought.
How can you love someone else too?
Flynn finishes the sentence for me. My smile is bleak.
Christian, knowing your extraordinary need to protect and provide for those who are close to you, those you love, there's no doubt in my mind that you have an innate capacity to love your own child. I hope you're right.
John allows himself a small smile.
We'll see. You'll find out in a few months. How are you feeling about Mrs. Lincoln?
As if that chapter's closed. Flynn nods. I think it helps that I told Anna everything, how it all began and how it all ended. It feels complete.
Sounds like it. Any regrets?
I blow out a breath. Telling Anna? No, none. Severing my relationship with Elena? Yes. No. John purses his lips and I add quickly, I know you don't agree. I know what Elena and I did was wrong. What she did was wrong. Her behavior was predatory. I understand that now. But I don't wholly regret it. How can I? I've always believed she was what I needed at the time. She taught me so much. He sighs.
She took advantage of a vulnerable adolescent, Christian. You can't dodge that truth.
I stare at him. He's not wrong. But I'm not prepared to admit that. Yet.
Give me time.
I state quietly. He nods. No doubt we'll keep coming back to this, so let's give you some time, and we can dig into that again when you're ready.
He blows out a breath. I'd like to ask you about the conversation with your parents with regard to your foster placement.
How that felt.
Strange, for several reasons.
Please elaborate.
First of all, I was stunned they were so quick to respond to my call for help.
Have they not done that before?
Well, yes, they have. My mom was really helpful with Ray when he was in an accident.
But that's different. She's a doctor.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever asked them about something so personal before. I think I gave up trying a long time ago. As you know, in my teens, I had a difficult relationship with both of them, and they were so disappointed and disapproving after I dropped out of Harvard. Flynn nods.
But as a parent, you always think you know what's best for your child. It's a lesson worth remembering. Dropping out obviously did you no harm.
But the other evening when they came over, they were more than helpful. They brought all that stuff with them. I point to the manila folder that Flynn has already leafed through. He reaches for the photograph of the Collier family and their two foster children.
And that's Hyde.
He indicates the truculent red-haired boy. I nod.
And you, the smallest kid?
Yes.
It must have been very unsettling for you not to remember this time.
It was.
Do you remember more now?
Yes, I think it was my mother's reassurance that I came to no harm in the foster family's care. That was the most comforting. It enabled me to let the memories in. Before then, my imagination went wild. I was scared to remember. You know, when you don't know.
Yes, I understand. You believe her?
Yes. The recollections I do have are all good.
And what of Christian Bustai?
I sigh.
He's no more.
Flynn's brow creases.
Are you sure?
I scoff. No, but I think it's time I grew up and left him behind. My wife told me in no uncertain terms that I need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee. Flynn snorts.
Did she know? Have you told her about this?
He holds up my birth certificate.
No. Why?
I shrug. She knows me as Christian Gray. John considers my response.
That child is part of you.
I know, but I want to keep him to myself for a little while longer. Get used to him.
Will you tell her?
One day, sure.
You've only known about him for a few days.
I think you're entitled to keep him to yourself for as long as you want, Christian.
Learn to love him. Forgive him. It's in your power to do so.
I gasp as the full weight of Flynn's words blindside me. Forgive him. What did he do that requires forgiveness? I whisper. John smiles at me kindly.
He survived.
I'm frozen, staring at him.
And his poor mother didn't.
You might want to direct some of your forgiveness at her, too. I gaze at him for what feels like minutes, then I glance at the clock.
Okay.
I blow out a breath, relieved we're done. As ever, you've given me a great deal to think about.
Good. That's my job. We still have so much to discuss, but I'm sorry we're out of time.
We're getting there, surely, I ask. Flynn's grin is amicable.
Slowly. Now we're at this point, your attachment issues alone could fill a year.
I laugh.
I know.
But you're beginning to open up to your wife, making yourself vulnerable. These are giant steps. I nod, feeling like I got an A in therapy.
I think so. I'll see you next time. And congratulations, Christian.
I frown.
What?
The baby. Flynn grins.
Oh, yes, Junior.
Thank you. It's dusk, a golden pink light filling the room.
my hands in the pockets of my pants. I stare out at the Seattle skyline toward the Sound and smile from my ivory tower, as Anna would say. And I would correct her and tell her it's our ivory tower. She was animated and talkative at dinner, happy to be working. After our meal, she returned to her lair, well, the library, to sort through query letters that she had messengered over from SIP. Perhaps she should go into the office tomorrow. I think she's well enough. My mind shifts to my conversation with Flynn. Forgive him. Forgive her. Perhaps it's time. I've spent so long loathing the crack whore, I'm not sure I can move on from those feelings. But Anna was passionate in her defense.
Forgive her. She had her own world of pain to deal with. She was a shitty mother, and you loved her.
My shrink and my wife are of one accord. Perhaps I should listen to them. Idly, I walk to the piano, sit down, and start to play Debussy's Arabesque No. 1, a piece I haven't played in forever. As the upbeat, evocative melody echoes through the room, I disappear into the music. My phone buzzes, interrupting the second arabesque. I have an email from my wife.
From Anastasia Gray to Christian Gray, September 21st, 2011, 2045. My husband's pleasure. Sir, I await your instructions. Yours always. Mrs. G. Kiss.
I stare at it in anticipation as desire wakes my body. Anna wants to play. Best not to keep a lady waiting. I type a response. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Gray, September 21st, 2011, 2048. My husband's pleasure. Love this title, baby. Mrs. G, I'm intrigued. I'll come find you. Be ready. Christian Gray, anticipative CEO. She can't be in the playroom. I'd have noticed her moving to the upper floor. I open the bedroom door, and here she is, kneeling at the entrance, eyes downcast, wearing a pale blue camisole and panties, and nothing else. On the bed, she's laid out my Dom jeans. My heart lurches into overdrive as I gaze at her, drinking in every detail. Her parted lips, her long lashes, her hair curling in luscious waves below her breasts. Her breathing's accelerated. She's excited. My beautiful girl is offering herself to me, wholly, again. Last time we were in the playroom, she safe-worded on me. And yet she trusts me enough to go again. What did I do to deserve her? She's still healing, Gray. Fuck. But she's dropped enough hints these last few days. We'll have to see what we can do about that. And suddenly a barrage of visions of Anna in the playroom fill my mind. That first time, her nervousness, my excitement. Damn, she wants this. So do I. I reach for my jeans and, turning, head into the closet to change. As I strip, I think of what we could do. We'll take it easy. Easy, sweet. But I'm going to drive her wild. A frisson of pure excitement runs down my spine to my dick. Bring it on, Mrs. Gray. I return to the bedroom, and she's still kneeling at the door. So, you want to play?
Yes.
Oh, Anna, you can do better than that. When I don't respond, she looks up at me and registers my annoyed frown. Yes, what? I whisper.
Yes, sir,
she says quickly.
Good girl.
I stroke her hair.
I think we'd better get you upstairs now.
Offering my hand, I help her to her feet, and together we walk to the stairs and up to the playroom. Outside the door, I bend down and kiss her, then grasp her hair and tip her head back so I can drown in the depths of her eyes. You know, you're topping from the bottom, I murmur against her lips. But then she's been doing that since I met her. She owns me, body and soul.
What?
She breathes. Don't worry, I'll live with it. Until death do us part, Anastasia Gray, because I love you more than life itself, and I know you love me. I run my nose down her jaw, filling my senses with her sweet scent. I nibble her ear. Once inside, kneel like I've shown you.
Yes, sir.
Anna peers at me through her lashes, and I don't miss her I so own you smile. It makes me smile, too, because it's true. She is my everything, and I'm hers, always. Now, let's have some fun.
Epilogue. Monday, July 30th, 2012. I lie perfectly still, drinking in the sight of my gorgeous wife lying beside me. Early morning light streams through the gap in the curtains, gilding Anna's hair and revealing the adoring glow in her face. She doesn't know I'm awake yet, as she's busy breastfeeding our son, smiling down, murmuring quiet words of love to him, and stroking his soft, plump cheek. It's a stirring scene. Anna has a fathomless well of love to give. To him, to me. She shows me how it should be, and that it's okay to feel this thrill. This passion for someone so small. This flesh of my flesh. Ted, my boy. I'm besotted with both of them. She peeks up to check on me, and I'm caught mid-ogle. Her face erupts into an enormous smile.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Enjoying the view?
She cocks an eyebrow, amused. Very much, Mrs. Gray. Leaning up on my elbow, I press a tender kiss to her waiting lips, and another on the coppery down atop Ted's head. Closing my eyes, I breathe in his scent. After Anna's, it's the sweetest fragrance in the world. He smells so good.
That's because I changed his diaper 10 minutes ago.
I grimace, then smile. Rather you than me. Anna grins, but rolls her eyes, knowing full well what I'm thinking. Teddy ignores us, his eyes closed, his hand splayed over the swell of Anna's breast. He's too busy enjoying breakfast. Lucky boy. He's a very lucky boy. He sleeps with us. That was a battle I was never going to win. And while it has somewhat curtailed our bedroom activity at night, it's reassuring to know he's so close when we sleep. It's ironic to think that until I met Anna, I'd never slept with anyone, and now there are two people in my bed. Did he wake last night?
Not since I fed him at midnight.
She strokes his cheek once more and croons.
You slept all night, little man.
He pats her breast in response, staring up at her with eyes the same shade as hers, and with a look I know only too well. Complete adoration. Yep, Teddy and I suffer from the same fixation. He closes his eyes and his suckling slows and stops. She strokes his cheek, then delicately slides her finger into his mouth so he releases her nipple.
That's breakfast done,
she whispers.
I'll put him in his crib.
I'll do it. Today is a special day. Sitting up, I gently scoop him into my arms, enjoying his warmth and weight against my chest. I kiss his head once more and, holding him close, carry him next door to his room where he should be sleeping. Miraculously, he stays asleep as I lay him down in his crib and cover him with his cotton blanket. Gazing down at him, I'm lost in an overwhelming swell of emotion. It hits me now and then. An immense tidal wave of love that washes over and through me. This tiny human has invaded my heart, ensnared it, and trashed all my defenses. Flynn was right. I love him unconditionally. I shiver because this feeling still frightens me and scan his room. It's painted like an apple orchard, and one day I hope to teach him how to grow sweet red apples from a bitter green apple tree with the help of his namesake, Grandpa Theodore. Switching on the baby monitor, I grab the receiver and take it back to our bedroom. Anna is fast asleep. Damn. I never wished her a happy anniversary. For a moment, I contemplate waking her, but deep down, I know that wouldn't be fair. Anna is tired most of the time. Sleep is prized over everything. Hopefully, now that Ted's nearly 3 months old, she'll get more rest. I miss her. Feeling a pang of regret that I know is completely selfish, I stride into the closet to change into my running gear. I scroll through the songs on my phone and find one that Anna must have uploaded. It brings a smile to my lips. With Rihanna's We Found Love blaring through my earbuds, I set off for a run down 4th Avenue. It's early, and the streets are relatively empty, except for the occasional dog walker and refrigerated trucks delivering to the local restaurants, and early shift personnel heading to work. My mind empties as I concentrate on finding my rhythm and setting a long run pace. I'm heading northwest. The sun is shining, the trees are in full leaf, and I feel I could run forever. All is right in my world. An idea occurs to me. I decide on a nostalgia tour and set my sights on Anna's old apartment where Kate and Ethan live. For old time's sake. Their living arrangements will change shortly. Kate and Elliot are getting married this coming weekend. As soon as Kate found out Anna was pregnant and her due date, she changed all their plans so that Anna could still be her matron of honor. That woman is as determined as ever. I hope Elliot knows what he's doing. His bachelor party was epic, far more gregarious than mine. But that's Elliot, and what happens in Cabo San Lucas stays there. And even though as best man it was my responsibility to organize the whole shebang, I spent those few days missing my wife and son. But then I'm not the party animal. Elliot is. And he had fun. That was the point. As I round the corner onto Vine Street, I'm reminded of my desperate runs during the dark days when Anna left me. Damn. I was crazy then. Crazy in love, Gray. And I didn't even know it. Approaching my stalker's hide, I contemplate pausing there, but dismiss the idea. Those dark days are far behind me, and I don't want to be away from Anna for too long. I turn left at the corner onto Western Avenue, my mind drifting to all that's happened since Anna and I tied the knot on this day last year. Of course, the biggest change was the dramatic arrival of Theodore Raymond Gray on May 2nd, who now rules our hearts and our domain. God, I love my boy. Even though I now have to compete with him for my wife's attention. I do choose this defenseless baby over you. That's what any loving parent does. Damn right, Anna. Her words still sting, but they resonate with me now. It's hard surrendering her to someone else. I wouldn't do it for anyone but him. And to see her care for him. She loves him so much, she'll do anything for him. I know that my birth mother, to some degree, must have done the same for me. I wouldn't have survived to age 4 otherwise. It makes me feel a little more kindly toward Ella. Just. In a way, I envy Ted. He has such an advocate in his mother. She'll fight for him, always. That's why he's in our bed.
While I'm breastfeeding him, he's here with us. Deal with it, Christian.
My girl does not back down. And of course, he has me. I'll do everything in my power to keep him safe. That fucker Hyde is locked up. The trial was a painful but necessary evil. He was convicted of aggravated kidnapping, arson, extortion, and sabotage, and sentenced to 30 years. Not long enough, in my opinion, but at least he's out of our lives and where he deserves to be, behind bars. Lincoln is bankrupt and currently on remand for felony fraud charges. I hope he too rots in jail. Revenge is indeed a most satisfying dish. Enough, Gray. I direct my thoughts back to my family as I run through Pike Place Market. I love this time of the morning here. The florists setting up their colorful displays, the fishmongers icing their fresh catch, and the grocers arranging their fruits and vegetables. It's such a vibrant, bustling part of the city, and so much easier to navigate this early, without the tourists in the way. Next weekend's wedding will be held at Eamon Cavanaugh's Medina residence. I still have to write my speech, and much to Kate's irritation, I've refused to give her editorial approval. She's such a control freak. I don't know how Elliot puts up with her. Anna and Mia are both part of the bridal party, Anna as matron of honor, and Mia as bridesmaid. I hope it's not going to be too awkward with Ethan. I shake my head. He's just not that into you, Mia. I continue on and pick up my pace on Stewart Street, running toward Escala, running home, well, to one of our homes. We divide our time between our two residences, Escala during the week and the big house, as Anna calls it, on the weekends. So far, it's working well. As I reach the main entrance, I check my time. Not bad. In the elevator, I catch my breath, and as I'm alone, stretch out. Mrs. Jones is busy in the kitchen as I walk past on my way to my bedroom. I check in on Ted and find that he's still fast asleep, his chest rising and falling. Damn, but I love it when he sleeps. Hope, his nanny, should be up and with him shortly. Anna is still out for the count, too. I strip down in the closet, dumping my sweaty clothes in the laundry basket, then head into the shower. The hot water douses me, washing off all the sweat from my run. I'm lost in my thoughts as I soap my hair when I hear the sound of the shower door open. Anna snakes her arms around me and kisses my back, pressing her body against mine. My day just got a whole lot better. I make to move, but Anna tightens her arms and splays her hands on my chest.
No,
she says, between kisses on my back.
I want to hold you here, properly.
We stand quietly, together, until I can bear it no more. Turning around, I pull her into my arms, enjoying the softness and warmth of her body against mine. She raises her lips to me, her eyes darkening. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Christian.
Her voice is husky, laced with desire. I touch my lips to hers and my body comes alive, as does Anna. She moans as she kisses me back, opening her mouth and granting me access to her tongue, which greets mine with heightened fervor. We kiss, tongues tangling and tussling together, pouring what must be a week's worth of frustration into each other as she runs her hands up my back, over my shoulders, and into my hair, pushing me against the cold tiles. Breathless, she nips my jaw at my ear.
I've missed you,
she murmurs above the rush of the shower.
Fuck.
Her words pour gasoline on the fire. My erection is harder and fuller, pressing against her, wanting her. My fingers are in her wet hair, angling her lips to mine, while I take more from her mouth. I'd expected maybe some gentle lovemaking the way we have recently, but not this. Anna is lit and greedy. Her teeth scrape along my stubbled jawline. Her fingers tug at my hair as my hands move to her behind, pressing her to me. She squirms against me, finding some friction, her intent clear.
Anna, here?
I gasp.
Yes, I'm not made of glass, Christian.
She's emphatic as she kisses the line of my clavicle, her hands now roaming down my back to my ass. She squeezes hard, and then her hand is on me.
Fuck.
I whisper through clenched teeth.
I've missed this.
She wraps her fingers around my cock and starts to move her hand up and down, her mouth on mine once more. I pull back to gaze at her. Her eyes are dazed with passion. Her hand tightens around me, and I watch and clench my ass with each move thrusting into her hand. She licks her lips. Oh no, to hell with this. I want inside her. She said she's not made of glass. I lift her. Wrap your legs around me, baby. She complies with a surprising agility. That must be her sessions with Bastille and her lust. I turn, resting her back against the tiles. You're so beautiful, I whisper, and slowly ease into her. She tips her head up against the wall and cries out. The sound travels to the end of my dick, and I start to move, hard, fast. Her heels press into my butt, spurring me on. Her arms wrap around my neck, cradling me as I drive myself into her, over and over. Her breathing accelerates, becoming louder and harsher in my ear as she climbs.
Yes, yes,
she whispers, and I don't know if it's a plea or a promise. Anna, my love. Suddenly she cries out as her orgasm consumes her, and I let go, following her over the edge, coming inside my wife and calling her name. When I'm sane again, I'm leaning against her, holding both of us up. Anna unhitches her legs and slides them down my body so that we're both standing together in the shower. I press my forehead to hers, and together we catch our breath, holding each other beneath the stream of hot water. Anna tilts her head up, cups the back of my neck, and brushes her lips against mine. Gentle, sweet.
I needed that,
she says.
I laugh. Me too, baby.
My lips are on hers once more, but this time in thanks.
Can we enjoy part two in bed?
Her eyes are still smoldering.
But work?
Anna shakes her head.
I've taken the day off. I want to spend it in bed with you. We'll never have this first again, and I want to celebrate our anniversary, doing what we do best.
I beam down at her, feeling all the love in the world.
Mrs. Gray, your wish is my command.
Lifting her into my arms, I carry her back to bed and lay her down, both of us soaking wet. Anna is dozing, face down and naked on our bed. I kiss her shoulder and get up. In our closet, I drag on some sweatpants and a t-shirt and go in search of food. I check in on Teddy and find Hope with him, changing his diaper.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
She has a sweet drawl, betraying her southern roots. Good morning, Hope. Hope minds Teddy when Anna's at work and lives upstairs with the rest of the staff. She's in her early 40s, never married, never had kids. I'm sure there's a story there that Anna will unearth one day. Anna has a knack for getting people to talk. She did it with me. Hope has been with us for 3 months, and so far it's working well. Anna had insisted on someone older, a career nanny, because Anna's so young.
I want someone I can learn from. My mom lives too far away, and your mom is so busy.
Hope does not approve of Ted sleeping in our bed. As much as I love him, I'm with Hope on this, but Anna will not be swayed. Hope kisses Teddy's belly and he chortles with glee. It's a beautiful sound.
I'll leave you to it, I tell Hope.
Mrs. Jones is at the stove.
Good morning, Gail.
Ah, Mr. Gray, good morning. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I'd like to take Anna breakfast in bed.
Lovely idea. What would the two of you like?
Pancakes, bacon, blueberries, coffee.
Coming right up. It'll be about 20 minutes.
Great. I amble into my study to fetch the first of my anniversary presents for Anna. The second one, an eternity ring, a symbol of my eternal love, I'll give to her over dinner this evening. I open my desk drawer to check that the red box with her ring is still there, but my eyes stray to the photograph of Ella Bustai adorned by a silver frame that's now tucked away in my drawer. Anna liberated the snap from my childhood bedroom and had it enlarged and placed in the frame as a gift for my last birthday. But no matter how often I open the drawer, the sight of my birth mother catches me unawares.
You still wanted your mom. You loved her.
My wife is nothing if not persistent. She also found Ella's final resting place and will go one day, I think. Maybe I'll find out more about her then, and maybe after that, she'll earn a place on my shelf.
You might want to direct some of your forgiveness at her.
I'm working on it, John. I'm working on it. Enough, Gray. I close the drawer and retrieve the first present I'm going to give Anna this morning. I hope she likes it. Placing the gift on my desk, I check the time. It's 8:30. Andrea should be at her desk. My wife has decided to stay home, and so will I. Picking up the phone, I press call.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Good morning, Andrea. Cancel all my meetings today. I'm taking the day off. There's a slight pause and a small gasp before she replies.
Yes, sir.
And don't call me. At all.
Sure. I mean, yes.
I laugh. Thank you. Tell Roz, too. Whatever it is can wait until tomorrow. She laughs.
Will do, Mr. Gray. Enjoy your day.
That's two of us in a good mood. Anna is dozing when I bring in her tray, the sheet loosely wrapped around her body, so I'm treated to the spectacular view that is my wife. Her hair is tousled from our earlier lovemaking and spreads across the pillows in a lush sprawl. She has one arm raised over her head, one breast and one shapely leg partly exposed. The morning light caresses her body as if she's been captured by a grand master himself, a Titian or a Velasquez, maybe. Aphrodite, my goddess. She's lost weight since Ted's birth, and I know she wants to lose more, but to me, she's as lovely as ever. The rattle of our coffee cups rouses her, and she rewards me with a breathtaking smile.
Breakfast in bed? You really are spoiling me.
I place the tray on the bed and take my place beside her.
A feast!
She claps her hands.
I'm famished.
She tucks into her pancakes and bacon. You'll have to thank Mrs. Jones for this. I can't take any credit.
I will.
She mumbles, mouth full. We eat in a companionable silence, enjoying the nearness of each other. It's a curious feeling, this utter contentment. I've only ever felt it with Anna. And I allow myself a moment to reflect on my extraordinary good fortune. I have a loving, smart, gorgeous wife, a beautiful son who is at present being entertained by Hope. My business is in good hands. All the companies we've bought over the past few years are highly profitable. The solar tablet is a huge success, and we're creating new technology around it, specifically for the developing world. Sitting here with my wife eating pancakes is about as good as it gets. Once I finish, I put my plate down. I have something for you, which I can take credit for. From beside the bed, I hold up the gift-wrapped package.
Oh!
Anna grabs a napkin and wipes her hands while I place her empty plate on the tray and push it out of the way. Here. She gives me a quizzical look as I hand her the broad, heavy, oblong package. It's our paper anniversary. That's your only clue. She grins and starts carefully unwrapping the paper, trying not to tear it. Inside is a large leather binder. Anna bites her lip as she unlatches the strap holding it shut and lifts the cover. She gasps, her hand flying to her mouth. Beneath the cover is a black and white still of Anna and Ted. She's smiling down at him, and he's gazing up at her in adoration. The light is perfect, illuminating both of them in a warm, loving glow. I took it a couple of weeks ago, specifically for this series of ledger-sized prints, and it reminds me of the Virgin and the small shrine in St. James's Cathedral in Seattle.
This is lovely.
Anna breathes, her voice ringing with awe. I'm proud of these stills. My intention is to hang them in place of some of the Madonnas in the foyer. In the next one, she's holding Ted and looking at me, her eyes alight with amusement. And something a little darker. Something for me. I love this picture. There are four prints with Anna and Teddy, and then the last one. She gasps again. It's me and Ted in a selfie. He's in my arms, all dimples and baby fat, curled against my naked chest, fast asleep while I gaze into the camera.
Oh, Christian, this is fabulous. I love it.
Anna turns to me, tears in her eyes.
My two favorite men in one exquisite capture.
They both love you very much.
And I love you.
She closes the book and sets it aside carefully and pounces on me, rattling the cups and plates.
You are the three wishes from Aladdin's lamp, the state lottery, and the cure for cancer rolled into one.
I laugh and brush my fingers down her cheek.
No, Anna. You are.
This is Zachary Weber. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Freed, 50 Shades Freed, as told by Christian, by E.L. James. This program was directed by Mae Wuthrich. Executive producer, Dan Zitt. Edited by JSR Post, LLC. Text copyright 2012-2021 by 50 Shades LTD. Production copyright 2021, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.